recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM.
And broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games.
With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes,
Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
Welcome, friends of all designs, to Zed Games. I'm your host, Paul, tonight, and joining me is my good friend, Rani.
Yeah, it's me. Woo!
So, what a show we have for you tonight. It's very Australian-themed. After the news, we will be talking about an Australian game that, well, technically it came out a long time ago, but it was released on most consoles and PC this year down in Bermuda. And then we'll be chatting about a couple of micro games that came out this year, Pebble Witch and... Ooh! Sorry, I lost my own train of thought there for a second. Video World, which we've actually been playing music of for the last couple of weeks.
You're looking at me as if I'm going to be able to save you, as if I've read the show schedule. I have. I don't remember these things, though.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I'll try to make a good impression. So, how about, instead of dilly-dallying before the news, let's play some news and then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Great.
This week in gaming news, PAX Australia is back. The gaming event is returning this year in its familiar form in Melbourne, Victoria, from the 8th to 10th of October. With it comes the exhibit hall, filled with exhibitors from AAA publishers all the way to indie developers, with tons of projects to show, panels run by a wide range of people from not only the dev scene, but also from the gaming community, performances, tournaments, and Amigathon, a giant tournament that spans the entire length of PAX. There are a few changes following the latest COVID-19 safety guidelines. Tickets will be limited, and the relevant restrictions apply. In addition, in the case of border closures or other COVID-19 restrictions, tickets will be refunded. Early bird tickets will be available on the 23rd of March. You can learn more by visiting the PAX website, or a link will be provided on our Facebook page at ZEDGamesAU. Rockstar Leeds founder has passed away. Gordon Hall, founder of Rockstar Leeds, has passed away at the age of 51. He led the development team on games such as GTA, Chinatown Wars, and Liberty City Stories, and worked on Red Dead Redemption. Gordon was simply brilliant to be around, incredibly motivating, and ever positive, recounts Martin Brown. His pursuit of excellence was staggering, and he formed a great, trusting bond with those who chose to work alongside him. Australian Parliament is starting to get video games. Many developers and members of the gaming community are familiar with the lack of support for video games on the federal level, but things may be starting to change. With the formation of a bipartisan parliamentary frame group for video games last year, stronger ties have been established between the community and Parliament, and with it, better communication and understanding. Nearly 40% of people playing video games are over 65, so get rid of the idea that this is just kids in their rooms avoiding doing their homework, says Susan Templeman. Within federal circles, she's been tackling the stereotypical image of gamers, even recounting an 80-year-old voter and electorate who plays video games to keep their mind active, but also to stay connected after the loss of his wife. Changes don't happen overnight, but there is definitely more of a dialogue, with video games being seen more seriously. And now for some upcoming game releases. Cartel Tycoon for the PC and Marvel's Avengers for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X will both release on March 18th. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville will come out on the Switch on March 19th. And Overcooked, All You Can Eat, comes out on the PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch comes out on March 23rd. That's it this week in gaming news.
Thank you for that, Zara. Some news there. What a bunch. Probably the biggest one, PAX is back after skipping last year.
PAX is all I care about. It's all I've been able to think about since they announced that they were back, because the past 2 years, yep, when I've wanted to go, I have not been able to go for whatever reason. Actually, I think one of those years when I was talking that first year, 2019, I think I actually had surgery. I think that was why I couldn't go.
And that's why I can't go this year.
Yeah, I think I might be the only one who can go this year from the Zed Games team.
So it's a real kick for me because I kind of assumed it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I was assuming it wouldn't happen as well.
Yeah, and normally I'm down there pretending I'm a big important person, running panels and just enjoying myself, catching up with everyone. But yeah, this year I've already scheduled surgery for those
days. You were like, it's fine. PAX isn't going to happen. It's fine. I can go down. And meanwhile, I'm here with my like flights and accommodation booked.
Yeah.
The tickets, you can't buy them yet. That's next week, the day before I get paid. So it's fine. I'm not bitter. But if for whatever reason something terrible happens, I'm just going to go to Melbourne anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll be vaccinated.
Look, you'll definitely get in in as press with your cool community radio perks.
Oh, heck yeah.
And people love old media.
That means that I need a buddy. Well, I need a buddy at these sort of events anyway. Yeah. So I'm just going to have to find some friends.
Yeah. Oh, God. If you know how to find friends, that'd be great. PAX is a wonderful event. I mean, we're not here to spook PAX as such, but... it really is like when I went, you know, I went because it was a thing I hadn't gone to. It was big in the States. They're starting Australia. And the first year I went along and we went in as media and the keynote speaker was Ron Gilbert, who made Monkey Island, all that. We just asked him for an interview. Apparently no one else did because they didn't know how we got the interview. We just emailed him.
You're like, hey, can we have an interview? We're totally legit media people.
We hung out with Ron for hours. It was great. Yeah, and then it just got better and better. But the big thing about PAX, because it's just community driven, it's not like a big store. It's mostly just games being shown, huge indie areas. That's where I spend most of my time. But like, and then lots of tabletop as well.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to try new games and meet new friends, that's a great way of doing it.
I'm going to be really interested to see if I can find people in both the disabled and Indigenous space in at PAX, like of events to be able to meet people in those spaces. That's going to be the event to do
they
it.
They have the Diversity Lounge, which I think that was Jennifer. Oh, her last name's skipping my mind. She said that she does Checkpoint.
Yeah.
So that's normally pretty good. They normally have a few people developing in there. And other than that, it's like a cool chill out space.
Yeah, well, because I'm interested to see what other smaller companies, but also the AAAs, what they're doing in terms of accessibility.
Well, what was kind of interesting was you've seen the Xbox accessibility controller they released. So once that became available, there was like whole strips of people using that as accessibility, but also to have different inputs for games and really experimenting with it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably just going to continue because, well, not only is it interesting, but it's good to put on a show floor because it's different.
You can play with it and it's cool and nobody's seen it before. I'm currently biased towards Sony because I know they're working on stuff specifically for hard of hearing gamers. So obviously that being me, I'm like, yes.
When it comes to like physical mobility in Xbox, Microsoft is sort of blown everyone away, but the other stuff is still... Yeah, you know, it's all work in progress.
And I've always done some great stuff. I have my own little mobility thing, so I'm always looking for controllers that have those little buttons on the... What are they called?
The little flappy paddles.
Yeah. Or like on the inside of the handle thing. Yeah,
so you can get your cool racing, your gear shifts down. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's all I hear you talk about, how much you love shifting gears.
I have a manual car, man. Come on. But no, PAX is exciting. I'm really excited to go.
I'm a little bit sad that I can't, but I'm still hesitant about what it will even be this year.
I know, there's nothing, we don't have details on who's going to be there, what the keynotes are going to be, what the panels are going to look like, what the actual event is going to look like.
It might actually end up being pretty cool because it might have to be almost exclusively focused on Australian content. I mean, there are employees of the big three here, so they won't have to ship over people, but when it comes to actual developers and keynote speakers and such, it might just be all... Australasia.
Which is going to be awesome because, you know, tying into that parliament stuff, it can show our government what we can do here in the games industry, you know?
Exactly. We're going to talk about Down in Bermuda.
I'm ready.
So, from Melbourne-based developer Yak & Co. comes Down in Bermuda, an island-themed puzzle game filled with contraptions, codes, toys, and secrets to discover. Their previous game, Agent A, A Puzzle in Disguise, was a fun take on the adventure game crossed with an escape room in a 60s-themed spy adventure, and certainly showed the developer's chops when it came to puzzle design and world design. After his plane is brought down in a storm, we join our adventurer, Milton, 30 years later, having apparently spent this time trying to solve the game's tutorial puzzle. Thankfully you, the hopefully competent player, is here to assist the blithering nincompoop in his attempt to escape this strange world. Each of the game's six island levels will have the player exploring from an isometric perspective, able to zoom in and out and rotate the world to uncover its secrets. To unlock the next island, the player is tasked with collecting a number of glowing orbs, which will typically be hidden behind puzzles in the environment to figure out how... puzzle in the environment. Many of these puzzles share a lot with toy-style games, where you poke at an object to figure out how it works, eventually bringing it to some kind of resolution. The puzzles do vary greatly, however, from assembling mazes, organizing sheep, blasting cannons, turning on ancient mechanisms, and even a few boss fights. Additionally, each level will contain a number of stars hidden in the environment. This element leans more towards hidden object games and encourages the player to pay attention to the world, investigating an object from all angles and looking into any nook or cranny. Speaking of the world, the game has a lovely flat-shaded cartoon style, and each level is full of fun little details. This is a game about looking at the world, and it certainly rewards you with its sharp and playful style. Each island plays on a theme, and it's a real joy when you first land on them. Puzzle difficulty is a reasonably good balance. It's not going to tax the seasoned adventure game player, but the variety should still entertain. For everyone else, it should provide a solid puzzling but achievable level of difficulty. The game's biggest pitfall, however, comes down to its control. Originally, the game came out in a limited form on Apple Arcade back in 2019. Through the next year, they continued to add content until it reached the form we now know and found release on PC and consoles. The downfall of Apple Arcade being the lead platform, however, is that the controls are very focused on touchscreen. I played the game on Switch, and whilst that version also has touchscreen support, it's not as reliable as you would hope, often requiring multiple touches to successfully interact. Your other option is cursor control, which works, but again, just feels a tad clunky and unsatisfying. These are small niggles, but they do raise their head often enough that it does impact your enjoyment of the game. My other major criticism has to do with completing the game 100%. Now, I'm going to do something I wouldn't normally do, which is spoil what happens when you collect everything and unlock the final thing in the game. I hear you yelling at me now. Paul, you maniac! Someone lock him away before he destroys us all. But hear me out.
Turning his mic off.
I do this for you. But what happens is nothing. Credits roll. So, if you're inclined to collect everything in a game, including a few objects I have not mentioned in this review, do it for the sheer thrill of it and not for any reward at the end. It's a solid and pretty puzzle game, which could be really fun to play with someone younger. The game will only last most people around 3 hours, so you use your judgment on if that's worth the price of admission for you, which is between $24 and $29, depending on platform. Down in Bermuda is available for Switch, PC, Xbox, and iOS. And as a final note on that price, it's currently on sale for $9.99 on Switch, which is a far more reasonable request for a game of that length, I think.
The other game by that dev is also on sale on Switch at the moment. It's less than $5.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I originally played that because it did the same thing.
Yep.
They released it on iOS, and I think it might have originally been free, but they released it in chapters.
Yeah.
So I think it might have even been like the first pack, so I went down and I played the first chapter on the plane.
You were like, I'm like,
where's the rest of the game? And then eventually, I think I did play the full version on Switch eventually.
Yeah.
Because they're good.
Have you tried giving it to your baby to play with you yet?
No, he's not.
So you haven't turned him into a pro gamer yet?
No, he does have a little Fisher-Price controller he uses. Which you can put the Konami code into, and it makes a little special thing as a fun little side. But yes, his motor skills are not there for an 11-month-old yet. But I do think, when I mentioned like playing with a younger player, I reckon, because, you know, it's like looking at a Where's Wally picture or something like that. You sit there like, oh, we're trying to find all the star pieces. And they go, look behind it. So you control.
And they just stare.
And they can say and look and everything. So 11 months still too young for that.
They can backseat drive.
Exactly.
I don't know. You just need to teach him star or there and how to point. It's maximum two words.
That. But he wants dog and he wants microwave.
Dog and microwave. Microwave is a hard one, props.
Yeah. He doesn't say microwave. He just wants to touch the buttons.
Thank God for
parental locks. That Yak and Co. Part of the reason I think why the dev is as long as it is, because they're really pretty looking games, all of them. It's primarily two people. that make
yeah,
those.
Okay,
one
yeah,
one of them's Yak and one of them's Co, I guess.
Yes, that's how that works.
Yeah,
Co
yeah,
doesn't stand for anything else.
Nothing at all. It never has. No, yeah, I love my little puzzle games. And I love toy games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've played many of those. I do really also enjoy puzzle games, except for when my brain won't work.
Well, that does stop puzzles going on.
Yeah.
The one that always comes to mind is a game called GNOG, or
nope.
GNOG if you want.
GNOG.
So it's like it's giant robot heads, and they open kind of like old Mighty Max or Polly Pockets.
Oh.
And inside there's like a little scene, and you just poke and prod until you sort of get like, oh, we've built everything up, and then they come to life and they sing a song.
Oh, I love it.
And
oh, you know, I love it.
It's really psychedelic. If you're up.
I mean, it just kind of reminds me of, I really, really am obsessed with the local dev game Unpacking.
Oh, yes, yeah, yep.
Yep, that's exactly my kind of game.
Yeah, that should be coming out this year.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Which Beam's new game after Assault Android Cactus, quite the pivot on their style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, that should be very good. Okay, I think, no, so let's move on
we
with another song.
Music?
We got lots of music today. If we want. I can play music till the cows come home. I love music.
Oh, I have one question about this game.
Yes.
Did you ever, you said you got to sort sheep and you said you got to shoot cannons. Did you ever get to shoot a sheep out of a cannon?
No, they're different levels.
Darn it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to any. I don't
it's
advocate.
It's ruined it for you now.
Yeah, I don't advocate, you know, animal cruelty, but it's a video game and I like to
there's
shoot
that dark
things.
Part of you that really wants to
really
but
wants to shoot a sheep out
yeah,
of a cannon.
Video games your only outlet for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like
why do you think I love Assassin's Creed so much?
There are more sheep cannons than I'm aware.
Well, no, it's just more like murdering people and setting fire to things than I would like to admit
that
I
you're into.
Want to do in real life. Yeah, no.
I am Paul. I'm here with Rani.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah,
hello.
That is you. Yeah, well done. Yeah, this is Zed Games.
My own name.
Talking about video games and anything related. So, what we're going to chat about now is it's not quite a review. It's two Australian games that have come out this year. Actually, I think Pebble Witch came out just at the end of last year.
There is no such thing as 2020.
There is none. Why this isn't quite a review is that. Not quite, but you could play through either of these games basically in the length of this segment. Let me know what you're doing. Rush through.
Oh,
they're both micro games. So first up, I'm just going to chat about that. I might as well go from that song. So Pebble Witch. Now, Pebble Witch has quite a descriptive title. So Rani, what do you think you'd do in a game called Pebble Witch?
You witch pebbles.
That is closer to it than you think. So,
you play as a witch and you talk to pebbles.
You are exactly correct now. So, oh, you
might
looking,
be because I have steam open.
You're a cheater. That's so, this is a cute little game, and I really feel it's hopefully leading onto something bigger because it was surprisingly, well, deep is there too, but also just entertaining to go through. You arrive in a small town, and that town is actually a real place. You're in Darawal country, and the town's Kiama, which I wasn't aware of. Apparently, those are the Aboriginal names for them. I looked it up on the map, and yeah, they mapped out just that little peninsula next to the water.
I love
and,
it.
And like, there's a lighthouse, and it's where the real lighthouse is. And I'm like, this is great. So you have just arrived from some sort of witch school, some pebble witch school, and you've arrived at this town to talk to some rocks. And what I love about this concept is that you can't talk to a rock. You have to walk up next to a rock and sit down and wait for it to talk to you.
I love that on the Steam they have the feature count.
Yeah.
One gay protagonist.
Yep.
Two whole spells. About 30 minutes of playtime.
Yep.
20 minutes of this is probably spent walking.
Mm.
2 minutes sitting still and waiting. 8 minutes thinking about his teacher's gardening shorts.
Oh, yeah.
A whole bunch of rocks to sit and listen to and a really beautiful soundtrack by Software of Seagulls.
Yes. That does kind of sum it up.
Yeah.
It is the character art. There's sort of three characters. Oh, there's four because there's one very involved rock that you spend most of the game with.
I want to meet this very involved rock.
Mm, yeah, it is actually it has some nice dialogue and some nice ideas in that. Because really, it is, you just walk around, listen to some rocks, and then you go on a little adventure with one rock, and then it ends going like, oh, well, great first day, can't wait to see you tomorrow, and then there's credits. Like, I feel like there could be a tomorrow in this game.
You're like, I want a tomorrow. It is gorgeous.
It is a little rough around the edges, but, you know, that's fine.
What's it rated? Hold on. As in, like, age-appropriate ratings.
There's nothing particularly. It wouldn't be, kids wouldn't get into it. The dialogue, no. The dialogue's, you know, a little bit existential.
Rated
for kids.
T for teen.
Definitely. Yeah. So that's cute, and it's interesting because it is still a paid game. It's not like an itch game. Well, it's a crab seal of quality that goes into
an aggro crab.
Yes. So that's very interesting. And the other game that we're going to talk about is Video World, which we've been playing for the last sort of 3-4 weeks, I think, songs from that. It's interesting because it's a companion piece to an EP that was released by Monster Mansion. And in that, you play a video store clerk, and it's just about to be Halloween, and you have to do your chores. You have to go pick up the videos and trash, but there's a talking jack-o'-lantern in the corner that says, we'll cast a magic spell. And this involves singing. And the singing is just to tap directions. It's like a really simple beat game. If you're going to play it, definitely play it on the hardest difficulty, because there is no, even on the hardest, there is no difficulty.
To play on the hardest difficulty. I am going to play it on the easiest, where it is probably not a beat
the
game.
The easiest requires, no, there is no input required on the easiest. They really just want you listening to it. And you walk around and you're like, I've got a big balloons, I'm going to do it at the place. And then it has a twist, but we won't go into that in this, you know, 10 to 15 minute long game.
It is also very pretty.
Yeah. There's 3 tracks in it. And it's the only downfall is that when you're doing the little beat song to each of the tracks, you actually will finish the task before the track finishes. If you're really bad, you might last a little bit. It's not that hard of a game. It's like, for a companion piece, you really should have made sure I had to listen to the whole song. It's pretty good.
So what you're saying is really that you should just wait it out.
yeah. To get that, because I quite like the music. And they even did an earlier game, which is for free on Steam, called Human Rights, which they released around the same-sex marriage plebiscite in Australia. Yep. Which is just another one of the songs, but it's an interactive music video.
We
played it just before the show. Good song, couple of mini games, but I do like these sort of micro games, and whilst maybe they're not really commercially interesting to people, like this sort of level of thing on itch and everything is when it's a couple of bucks,
because
Video World is $1.50. Pebble Witch is $4.50, I think. And I would really like to see more. I actually found out on, I'm pretty sure it was Video World, I should actually check, when the credits rolled, I realized a friend of mine did art on it. I'm like,
You're like, I know that person.
It's like, hey, messaged her last night. I'm like, hey, did you know? I said, I'll give credit to you for all the good things and you didn't do any of the bad things. It's fine. So yeah, they're not super polished, but they're both really good progress sort of indicators. Yeah. I really want to see what both these teams continue to do.
I mean, people did games like Florence, which is basically the same, but a little bit longer.
But Florence is very polished. They put a lot of work into
it. But that's
Florence.
The thing, is like, if it's this enjoyable when it's not polished, think about what it would be like
I have
if
to
it
say,
is polished.
Because the beat mechanics are so simple, it didn't win me over in a beat game in Video World. But that could always change. They could always do more with it. But Pebble Witch, sitting and listening to rocks, for some reason I was really into that.
You're like, yes, yeah. Let me hear what the wisdom rocks has for me today. I want to listen to rocks.
I'm a very round rock. Should I have been a taller rock?
You're perfect the way you are.
Yeah, there's a lot of, sort of coddling the emotions of rocks. It's good.
Oh, maybe I'm not there for it. I don't know how to coddle people's emotions.
It's good.
I'm
it's
really
good. Rocks have slightly different problems because they've been around for such a long time.
That's true. I could like to hear their problems.
This is Zed Games. It was Zed Games. We're about to say goodbye. You got any closing thoughts for us, Ronnie?
No, I'm really hungry. I'm really tired. and I'm worried about how hard it's going to be raining outside.
When I poked my head up before, it was not raining anymore.
Oh, nice.
But you
but
know,
I
time
have a
makes
Bunnings umbrella.
Time makes fools of us all. Okay, so thank you for listening to Zed Games. Catch us on our socials, Zed Games AU.
Yeah.
Zed Games AU. That's the one.
Zed Games.
Zed Games. AU. Thank you. Good.
Z
I remember. Yeah, it's all good. And we'll catch you all next week.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games.
If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify
or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU.
See you next time.